Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. In this part of Luke, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He set his eyes on Jerusalem, and everything from this point on is making his way to crucifixion and resurrection. And in this small chapter, in this small part of the chapter in Luke, Luke is giving us all of these wonderful things that Jesus has done. Immediately before this, he calms a storm. Luke tells us how Jesus has power and authority over nature. And immediately after this story, Jesus restores the life of a young 12-year-old girl. Jesus has his power and authority over death. And here in this scripture that's sandwiched between those two, we get to hear a bit about Jesus' power and authority over the spiritual realm and over these demons. So hear now these words from Luke. Then they, the disciples, arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man in the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. So then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back to the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming through the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is another fascinating story. We decided it would be perfect to make a movie out of, be a scene in a big Hollywood blockbuster movie. Just imagine the screen pans out. There's Jesus on a boat coming up to this beautiful cliff like the ones they have in Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones or something, you know, the really pretty ones. And as Jesus steps out of the boat, here's this demon-possessed person. Now, you probably have figured some of this out about myself. I don't generally read the Bible perfectly literal. Okay? I read stories like this and of legions of demons coming out of a person. And it's hard for me to read literally. I don't strictly believe in demons and these outside spiritual, physical embodiment of evil. You know what I'm saying? I love watching Supernatural. I've been watching Stranger Things these past couple of weeks. I love the entertainment of imagining a physical embodiment of evil taking over our bodies and causing us to do incredibly insane things. But to actually sit down and imagine these sorts of things, I don't particularly believe that those sorts of things inhabit the world around us. Is that all right? Sitting with that for a little bit? Got a little quiet? Oh, no, the preacher doesn't believe in demons. It's okay. I don't. But I also know that there are things in our lives that feel like the way we talk about demons. We might not be able to see some smoky, demonic, little horned thing that takes over our bodies. We know that depression and addiction and all sorts of other things can grab a hold of us, make us feel like we don't have control over our minds and our bodies. Now, I'm not qualified to talk about addictions. The young man from Isaiah House did a pretty fantastic job of sharing his story a number of months ago. So I'm not going to try to talk about the demons of addiction and how addiction can grab a hold of you. But we know that those sorts of things exist. We know that depression can cause us to do things that we might not otherwise do. And so while I might not imagine a physical embodiment of a demon, I do know that there are demons that inhabit our lives. There are mental illnesses and, again, these things like depression and addiction. There are these things that hold us back. And just like the man in this story, those demons in our lives can strip us of who we are as people. The man in this story, these demons possessed him to the point where he wasn't even wearing clothes. He was a violently unstable person. They would try to lock him up for his own safety, I imagine, trying to do right by him and keep him safe and keep those around him safe. But he was such a violent person, he would break the binds. He would break the shackles. He would get out and drive himself into the wilderness. He slept in tombs, caves where they laid to rest dead people. This man was not stable. There was something wrong with him. Jesus tried to speak to him, asked him, "What is your name?" And even his voice is taken away from him. He simply says his name is Legion. The words that he says earlier are all from these demons. The man has nothing. No clothes, no home, no voice. These demons have stripped him of all that he is. And those demons that we have in our lives tend to do the same. Rob us of what we have. The goodness that God has given us can be stripped away by mental health issues, by depression, by addiction. One of the questions I asked in the Sunday school was, what is the order of events that took place? On the one hand, it says that as Jesus stepped out onto the land, I imagine he had one foot still in the boat and one foot out. This man with the demon comes up to him and sort of increases or initiates this confrontation. But then a verse later it says that the demon was shouting at him because Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out. So the question was, what is this order of events? Does this demonic person initiate the confrontation with Jesus before he can even get out of the boat? Or is Jesus called out the demon to begin it? Don't necessarily have the best answer. Almost feel like it's a both and. I'm a big both and person. Have you recognized that? I don't do either ors. I'm a both and. There are times where we have to go seeking out our help. We have to be like this demonic person where just that little bit sought out Jesus, the person that could heal him. We have to take responsibility for our own demons and seek out the places that we can help. And we also have to recognize that there are times when everything is beyond our own capabilities. I understand that's a big part of a 12-step process. Recognizing that you are unable to fix your issues and they appeal to a higher power. There are times when our demons have grabbed a hold of us, where we have to seek out help. And there are times where we also have to recognize that without that outside help, nothing is going to come of it. What I also love about this story is that while it highlights Jesus' power and his authority over these demons, we also get a great look at why he does it. In this age of technology and TikToks and videos and Instagram, people my age would love going viral. Have you heard the word viral? It's when you get famous on the internet, right? A bunch of people see your videos. I knew somebody that went viral. He was in high school. He made this hilarious video. It was a parody of another video. It was wonderful. Jesus doesn't try to go viral. He's not healing this person just because he can. He's not doing it in front of a crowd. He's not trying to get others to recognize all that he's done. He heals this man because this man needs to be healed. This man has nothing, no clothes, no home, no sound mind, no voice of his own. And by the end of the story, when all the crowds do finally show up, the man is sitting at Jesus' feet. He's clothed, he's talking, he's holding this conversation. He's able to go home. He's able to return to his family. He's made whole again by Jesus' healing. Jesus didn't do it in front of a crowd. He didn't do it to get famous. He simply healed the man because he needed to be healed. And when the crowds are upset with him and ask him to go away and to leave, he leaves. Jesus goes on about his way back to the other side of the lake. And all he asks is that the man tell others about him. All he asks is that the man returns to his home and to his family and proclaim all that God has done for him. Sometimes we get caught up in trying to prove how much God has done for us. It often seems like if we're unable to highlight all the goodness that God has brought into our lives, we're somehow less faithful than others. I've got to be thankful for what God has given me, so let me make sure that I tell you all about how wonderful it is. Let me tell you about the demons that God has taken from my life. Let me tell you about the blessings that God has bestowed upon me. As if for some reason not sharing those means that we don't appreciate what God has done for us. There are ways that we can go out and share God's blessing with others. And so I guess in conclusion, to conclude the scene of this great instance, Jesus comes in on the boat to begin the scene, and he leaves now back in the boat. But behind him, instead of this demonic person causing trouble and running wild through the wilderness, there is a man who's been made whole. There's a man up on the top of the hill now who's able to return to his family and share God's love with others. Jesus comes in on the boat, heals, causes a scene, and then quietly leaves. But it's not a path of destruction. It's this path of healing. And we also leave these paths of healing in our wake as we care for those who need God's loving touch. Amen.